Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of Halloween Horrors this month on the Rebel Radio Podcast, and quite a horrible movie today in a lot of ways. But this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Hell Priest.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know. Y'all have got those bald heads going to match Pinhead, so y'all can pull it off.
I'm not completely bald, actually.
Yeah, Long's got more hair than I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, okay? Creepy ass.
Yeah, rub it in our faces.
Long's going for that Jason Statham kind of look. It's that short, you know, short hair.
With a little grime on the side.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
then he talks like this. Maybe I'll
I'm going for the Homer Simpson look.
Sue the ladies over. Oh yeah, man, it's a good Friday. We're recording a little late. I was had to finish watching a baseball game, but you know, that's okay. Our Astros are back in the World Series, so I'm pretty fucking happy right now, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, so, man, that's a good thing.
Happy Mark is always a good Mark, and I'm on vacation after today, so I don't have to be at work for 9 days, so that's pretty awesome too.
Nice, man. So
I can't complain. Aren't you all too this week?
Yeah, but I had to offset my vacation. They make us run them from like the day after our off day, which would be Sunday night for me. And it would make me come back the following Sunday night, which would be Halloween night. And I want to take the kids trick or treating. So I'm working Sunday night and then I go off Monday night.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad then, I guess.
Yeah, not too bad.
Because you're off tonight and tomorrow night, so you basically just have to go in for like a day and then get...
Yeah.
That's
not mail good. It in, you know? Show up, just kind of coast, and I'm out.
Hey, some days are like that. I tried to not work too hard today, I'm not going to lie. It's like... But then my job, it's hard to really do that. There's always something going on, but...
Yeah,
you know, it might have been a corner or two I might have cut today, just because I was like, "Screw this! Vacation starts in a few hours."
Yeah,
and I can feel Long searing through the screen over there. You fuckers in your vacation!
I got my big vacation coming up first week of November, so I'm not jealous.
Next week?
Yeah. Dreading this final, the first week of November.
Nice, man.
Uh-huh. Aren't you going out of town for a couple days?
Yeah, I'm going to North Carolina on Monday. Spend the day with my brother, and then come back Wednesday.
Yeah, I knew you were going to. That'll be good to get away.
Yeah, you know, man. See something different. You know?
See your brother.
All I'm seeing is just rednecks and hills. That's all. That's nothing up in North Carolina.
There's rednecks in North Carolina?
The hills have eyes?
Surrounded by more Republicans.
Yes.
Darn Republicans.
Republicans and their Mitchell and McConnell and their eye patches.
They have a pretty that's actually a pretty more moderate state compared to us, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
They do have John Denver. And he's like West Virginia country roads.
John Denver's full of shit, man.
Well, he's rotten in hell right now, so let's move on.
Damn.
That's right. Let's move on. No. It is the middle of October. Well, not really even. Yeah, it's okay. What is today? I don't even know what today is.
What's today? The 22nd.
I guess it's the 22nd, so I guess we're past the middle of October. As we get into the final week, and it is... spooky time of the year, Halloween, and you know, we always do Halloween horrors every month, and the movie we're going to talk about here soon is I'll save it, but good lord, why'd you make me watch this?
But let's get into the show then. Download this, man, where we tell people what you watch, stream, check out this week. And man, I don't think I really watched anything this week except for baseball. But I'm going to make up for that this week, being on vacation. I'm going to watch Dune. I'm going to watch Injustice, the animated film. I'm going to me and Matt talk about going to see James Bond. So I'm going to bring it really fucking strong next week with what I watched. But this week I kind of slacked. Did you guys check out anything cool this week?
It's funny how you don't count baseball as part of your download this.
I mean, well, it's sports. I mean, you know, I don't know. Oh, I did. Oh, okay. I did. I tried to watch the first episode of Squid Game. I don't get it. What is the big deal about this show? I have to get further into it. I'm like, the dubbing is horrendous. It's really bad. Couldn't.
A lot of people say don't watch the dub.
Yeah, I've heard that now, but I just could not get into the show. I don't know. Maybe I'll try the second episode.
It sounds like a simple premise. What was it? Like, people are in severe debt, and if they play these classic playground games, then they could probably win $1 million or something, right?
Yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like basically.
And then if they fail, then they die.
Yep.
So,
yep. If you fail, you're dead.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch the rage.
Because everyone else is.
Well, that's kind of how I felt. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to watch this. I'm going to stay away from it because it's the trendy thing to do. But then I was like,
yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't really get hardcore into it. So that's just me. I don't know. We'll see. But that's about really all I tried to watch this week, other than the Astros in the playoffs.
Nice.
But like I said, I got stuff coming up. I'm kind of excited to sit down and give Dune a shot. I might wait a couple days till after the streaming. HBO Max tends to not want to work well when a movie first comes out for me. I usually have to wait a couple days. So, you know, and that's okay. So. What'd you guys check out?
I'll tell you, I checked out jack shit. All right, moving on, man.
Damn. Okay.
Final Fantasy 14. That's all I've been doing. Nice. So I don't want to sound like a broken record, but hey,
Well, see, that's like me. I don't want to sound like a broken record because I always play Star Wars Galaxies almost every day. I log in, I do some stuff in the game, and I watch baseball. So I'm kind of the same way. I don't want to sound like a broken record. It's same stuff. And to be fair, in a post-COVID environment, we're still not a lot of brand new stuff to go see. It's finally starting to hit. You know, Venom was at theaters and James Bond, and earlier in the year we had Godzilla vs. Kong and a few things, but it's still kind of lack of, you know, new material other than Netflix shows and Squid Games and television shows. But so sometimes it is hard to find something you really want to pinpoint watching right now, you know, but I think we're slowly getting back to that point where there's a lot of new stuff coming out. And, you know, and I know Matt, you probably checked. Matt has more free time during the day than us, to be fair too, because the kids are at school, so he can come home and watch some stuff.
Yeah. I've got that luxury. I did watch two new releases this week, Halloween Kills. I thought it was a solid B. There's a lot of mixed stuff. There's people that are, you know, obviously fans of Michael Myers. They're like, oh, well, there's a lot more killing in this movie. You know, I really liked it. And then some people are like, this movie is dumb as hell. Like, that was Jackie's reaction. Because there's a lot of, just kind of Magoo. Kind of like some horror Magoo-ness going on, where they're just like, evil dies tonight. Oh, we're up in arms.
What does that even mean?
You know, well, you know, just kind of goofy, just being, you know, kind of goofy with the, with the horror a little bit. I don't think they mean to be. There are some good parts, you know, and I think it's a solid B, you know, it was entertaining enough for me. The kills were good. I felt like the gruesomeness was, it wasn't overly done. I know there were some people that were, you know, bitching about the firefighter scene, but it's like, you know, it's Michael Myers. He don't care what your occupation is. He's going to kill you, you know. It's, yeah, then, you know, everyone's going to die, you know. Women, innocent kids, you know, all that good stuff. But solid B. It's on Peacock. I paid the $5. Watched it twice because Jaggy didn't realize I had seen it. And I just watched it again with her. But yeah, check it out. I mean, it's not bad for $5. I mean, it's not bad.
What movie?
Halloween Kills.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the new mask in this one. You know, he's got the burn marks on it. I was kind of looking, trying to see if Trick or Treat Studios sold one. And I just didn't want to spend $60 on a mask. I've already got that Leatherface mask. I'm probably just going to use that again this year. But yeah, check it out. Peacock. Free to download the app. But if you want premium stuff, you got to pay the $5.
I probably won't. I'll just be honest.
Yeah. other than that, yeah, I watched some other stuff on Peacock. They had Dumb and Dumber on there. I did watch Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, it was, you know, I had Jake watch some of it. I brought him in for the, whenever he fights the chefs and the waiters at, Jim Carrey fights the chefs and the waiters at the restaurant, he's daydreaming. I just thought that scene was just hilarious. Like his take on like Three Stooges humor, kind of. It shoots like a modern Three Stooges, you know, little flick. But watched that, and then went today to go see Ron's Gone Wrong. I hadn't even heard of this animated film, but Jake watches YouTube, you know, here and there, so. It popped up, and it's about this robot that kids have. Like, instead of a cell phone, having this bot, this little robot is the cool thing. And so, you know, they have social media through there and stuff like that. And this kid's robot is, like, malfunctioned. He has his own, you know, his own code. And, you know, the kid really bonds with the robot. And then the moral of the story is like, don't get too attached to your devices and stuff like that. And, you know, hang out with your friends. And it was cool. It was a cool movie. It was a family movie. You know, is it a great, you know, movie? I don't, you know, it's not Pixar. It's not Disney. It's not even DreamWorks. But it's okay. It's not bad. You know, if he hadn't requested it, I probably wouldn't have gone and seen it. I probably would have tried to take him to watch Dune or something so I could see that. Not bad. If you're looking for something to take your kiddo to, that's a decent movie. Other than that, you know, I guess I'll sound like a broken record. I played Destiny. Been playing Destiny a lot.
Two.
Oh, okay.
It's strange with Dune. I feel I'm not as invested in it as other franchises. So I feel like I can watch it at home and I don't feel like I'm missing anything. Mm-hmm. But like The Matrix, I'm definitely going to go to the theaters to see that. Because I saw the first three in theaters, so I want to see this one
your signal
on the biggest screen possible. Yeah, you know?
Froze up.
But Dune, yeah. I just... Like, I've already heard about Dune enthusiasts complaining about the movie. I have no...
Your signal broke again.
What's the word?
Yeah.
I have no... My signal broke?
Needs to replace that potato he calls a router.
Friggin' Amish router. He's got friggin' Ethernet cable stuck in a potato.
Or replace the hamster running the wheel.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Now I can at least hear him.
Oh, he's back.
There you go.
But no, when it comes to Dune, though, I have no, you know, cat in the bag, so to speak. I've never read the book, so I'm just going to watch it for what it is. But I don't feel invested enough to have to go see it in the theater. You know, I can watch it at home. I'm okay with that.
Cool, man.
So we'll see. And then I've heard a lot of things like, you know, they're showing these little trailers on TV. They showed a couple of them during the LCS tonight. And these quick little action scene trailers. And I've already read that don't expect a ton of action from it. Like a lot of the scenes are very short and brief in the film. So I'm kind of like, well, that sucks. You know, what, but yet they're trying to play it up in all the trailers. Dune. Yeah.
Oh, Dune. Okay.
Like the trailers are real. The trailers are really playing up the action, but I've already kind of read that there's not more than about maybe 20, 25 minutes of action in the film. So it's kind of like, it's a lot of talking. So we'll see.
Well, it's on HBO Max now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah, it's on HBO Max. But all right, well, let's get into today's feature film, our third of our four horror movies this month for Halloween horrors. And yeah, we didn't hit too hardcore the first couple of weeks. Well, I mean, Dracula's pretty hardcore, but this one is definitely holy shit, man. I mean, and it's funny, you texted me yesterday and asked me if it was the blood and gore. No, blood and gore doesn't really bother me, but I was just like, this movie's kind of disgusting. To be honest, I'm like, but that is Hellraiser 2 Hellbound. We did the original Hellraiser last year, and Long and I were we survived it, you know, yeah. Watching it, and so we thought, like, let's humor ourselves and do part two. And
I mean, I've heard so much hype about, you know, how it's a one of the greatest horror sequels, you know,
but it's not
in horror. Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to check it out.
Right, right. And I agree. And our own Matt here on the other side of the mic here played it up, said, oh, you guys will like it. And Matt, I know you summarized last week, but I'm going to let you summarize again, because I'll be honest, I watched this last night and the story was so muddled for me. I don't know. I wasn't sure what was going on at times, because the movie jumped a lot.
You kind of forget why she even tried to go inside the puzzle box again. It picks off where we left off. Christy awakes in a mental hospital, and you get a little flashback of who Pinhead was before he was a Cenobite. And it kind of gives you the idea that Cenobites are created out of men. So a little bit of backstory, which really isn't elaborated on much, further in the story. Christy's question, and she starts spilling the beans about what happened in Hellraiser 1, which, to quickly recap, you know, just the Cenobites, about how, you know, Frank Cotton came back from a drop of blood on the floor, and her stepmother, Julie, was luring people to the house, killing them, brought them back to life. And, you know, they think she's crazy, but lo and behold, Dr. Chouinard is actually researching these things. He's a big Cenobite fan. And Kirstie sees a vision of her father, supposedly her father, writing, I'm in hell, you know, basically help me. And, you know, she's trying to get back. She wants to get back and save her father. And Chouinard is like, I need to get that mattress. I want to bring this closer to the Cenobite realm. Julie comes back.
Does he even refer to them as Cenobites? Because he doesn't know what they're called yet. Does he refer to them as like the demon world or something?
Yeah. Demon world. And so he gets her all the people he needs. First victims, this mental patient. And it's a pretty gory scene. One thing.
Extremely.
With the low budget is the special effects. Actually not bad for the budget. It looks like it should be a better movie, a better looking movie maybe. It definitely does with what it has, as far as budget. So,
not to cut you off, but I felt like they saved all the money for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. That does look like that. And what a last 10 minutes. But, Dr. Chouinard also has this little girl that's really good at puzzle boxes. He gets her to open the box. Him and Julie go into the box, and see the Leviathan, and Doctor is turned into a Cenobite himself. Christy links back up with Pinhead. Boom, we get the Cenobites again. And
well, you'd even mention how the Doctor brings back the Julia.
Yes, she procures all the bodies for her, and then she takes out the only person that believes Christy. Probably because he wanted to get some from Christy, the assistant guy. but he's like, oh, he's like, this place is freaky. And she's like, let's go run. Let's go from here. And actually she's going to take a bite out of him too. And that part, her getting her skin back, is pretty messed up. Yeah, very gross. Yeah, this director, he likes close-up shots, and you see close-up shots of all of that, all that goodness, the corn syrup. So, you know, of course, Christy has to escape the Cenobites again. And now there's a new Cenobite because Dr. Chouinard's a Cenobite. And, you know, she drops the bombshell that, hey, they all used to be human. And there's this massive fight, Cenobite, for the original Cenobites versus the new Cenobite of Dr. Chouinard. And it's an epic battle. And Christy's, you know, fighting to escape. And she only manages to escape because she wears Julia's skin somehow. You know, she gets split up from the girl, and she just puts on Julia's skin and makes out with the Cenobite that has a thing for Julia, and stabs him with the Leviathan, gives Leviathan back to the puzzle girl so that they can escape. And she takes off Julie's skin, and they escape. Yeah, it's, that's basically it. It is kind of, it jumps. That's probably the most, the best concise I can get it. You know, but it's, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess. And Siskel and Ebert, you know, they didn't like the movie either. It's tied for Titanic and, you know, movies that repeat the main characters' names over and over again. Christy, Julia, Christy, Julia, all the time.
Well, okay, I had never seen this one before.
Yeah.
I had seen the first one I had seen before, even though I had never watched it for many, many years until I watched it last year. So it was kind of like watching the first time. And the first one, as low as the budget was and the way it was shot, it was still told a very concise story that had some interesting elements in it, and it made sense. And it used gore when gore felt necessary in that one. Where this one, within 20 minutes of the movie, I felt like they were just trying to be bloody. And it's really disgusting. And I hate you for making me watch this. Because it's gross. I don't mind gore in movies if there's a purpose for it. But like this one just felt like, okay, well, how bloody can we be? And how fucked up can we be? Because there's some really twisted stuff in this movie. But it's also – but I also can appreciate it for the design aspect of it and the way it's brought to life with the budget they had. And it's some quite good makeup effects and quite good animatronic effects or whatever they use to do some of the creature arms and things like that. So I can appreciate that too as a film fan. But as a movie, I didn't like this very much at all. It's it felt like just a forced continuation of the story from the last one. There's so much stuff cut from it with trying to explain where the Cenobites come from. And I read that they had almost 30 minutes of script that they were going to do more explaining of Pinhead and all them, and they had to cut it off for budget restraints. So they added parts of that story in there, but then it just sort of jumps around and never really comes to fruition and makes a lot of sense. And then you're just sort of thrown into this last 20 minutes of the film where all this stuff is going on and you're supposed to just like, okay, that just happened. Okay, that just happened. Wait, did that just happen? And that's kind of how I felt watching that last part of the movie. I was like, wait, what's going on here, you know? So the story is quite a muddled mess. And the gore factor in this film is just kind of gross, to be honest. And I'll let Long talk about his initial thoughts watching Hellraiser 2.
Yeah.
It's a very dark movie in a way, but I thought the horror elements of the first movie was, I kind of liked the first movie a little bit more because it was a steadier plot, you know? So This one was more, it was definitely more of a gothic spectacle. It's a very dark movie where, you know, its portrayal of hell's interesting. It's not like any other portrayal around that time period. I do appreciate how it expanded the universe. This one, the pacing didn't bother me as much as Mark did because, you know, I was like, yeah, I could tell this is, you know, funding was cut probably in the middle of shooting.
Yeah.
And it shows, but you know, given what they were had to work with, it's like, hey, I could see where they had to make up for it. I was disappointed in the fight between the Leviathan Cenobite versus the Hell Priests, you know, the other original Cenobites. It was kind of like, well, that didn't do anything, so, you know.
Yeah, at the kids, as the kids would say, the Leviathan Cenobite was OP. It's overpowered.
Yeah, yeah. It was... That was the biggest disappointment for me. And I'm sure that they're like, they want to do a much more substantial fight between the new kid on the block versus the original Hellraiser Cenobites. But and I think that's why I like the original movie more. It kind of left them as kind of a mystery. And definitely more of a, what was it? I don't know, but I do appreciate the bigger last set piece at the end, and you you do kind of root for Kirsty and the puzzle girl to make it out, and I did like the character development for the blonde who had a very tragic backstory, and I was kind of glad that the Leviathan guy got his comeuppance.
Yeah.
In a satisfying way. So, but yeah, I do appreciate some of the stop motion that they've employed. What else? Yeah, those are my initial thoughts. I overall, I enjoyed it, but not as much as the first movie. If they could be called enjoyed, I guess.
The mattress scene alone, like, my thing with it is not so much the gore, just it goes on and on and on. It's like he keeps cutting himself. There's more blood. And he cuts himself. There's more blood. Then there's his hands on the ground. There's more blood.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I'm not so much I cringed at it. I'm just like, okay, enough. We get it. You know, at this point, it's like that scene seems to drag on forever and ever. And I'm just like, oh, this is really gross. And
yeah, the gore fatigue, basically.
Yeah, and it just, the scene drags on. And then second, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, and now I'm not a huge fan of this franchise, obviously. Like, Pinhead, okay, he's the leader of them, obviously. And Doug Bradley, props to him. He does a great job of bringing this character to life. He really is kind of very menacing, and he's good in the role. But, like, he doesn't seem like he's in the movies a whole lot. You know, it's like in the first one, he's only in it very briefly, even this one. But yet somehow he's the face of the franchise. And maybe it's just because they put him on the posters and stuff, you know. But yet I felt like I'm watching a Hellraiser movie and they make a big deal about Pinhead. He gets all the action figures and all this stuff. But then he's hardly really in the film. And Matt, you've seen some more of these. Does he play bigger parts as it goes? I mean,
yeah,
it just feels like he's hardly in the movie.
Yeah, they start centering more and more around him. In the third one, they talk more about his past, and he's, you know, basically he loses the humanity that he had in the second one. It looked like he had a heart, you know, and you're like, oh wow.
For a brief moment. Yeah.
For a brief moment. And then, you know, Hellraiser, Hell on Earth, you get only him. It's only him. And then same for the fourth one. Well, you get some new Cenobites, and it's pretty twisted too. Right. But those are the first four are probably the only ones worth watching. They're the only four.
Well, that makes sense then. So as these movies came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, they built it around his character. So that makes sense why he's the popular one then. Because if you were to go back and watch these first two, you would think like, okay, why is he – like you understand he's the leader, but yet at the same time he doesn't do a whole lot in the movies, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of a by committee thing and far and few between.
Yeah. I do think that this movie had some good ideas that were ambitious as far as, like Long said, opening up the world a bit and the mythology of it. And it's kind of maybe unfortunate that the budgets were cut and they had to cut some things that might have expanded even more. And because from what I've read, the series pretty much goes downhill after this. Three and four, they're watchable, but they're still not that great. And then, of course, we know they made all the – direct-to-TV, direct-to-DVD sequels after number four, which there's like 8 or 9 of these things now, you know, yeah, and I don't think most, I was looking on IMDb, a lot of them are like 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10. So they're not very good, some of these sequels, I'm assuming. I think I read one of them was even hardly any gore in it because it was almost made for television. So they had to really cut back what was in it.
You know, it's like a CSI movie, that one you're talking about. It's a detective that's kind of, you know, investigating these murders. So you never actually see the murder. You just see like a crime scene.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, though. Hellraiser as a franchise, though, has survived all these years, and it has its fans, and I can see why. I mean, it's a cool mythology. It's just maybe not something that like I really get into. Like, I can appreciate it, but I can watch. I can tell you, I will never watch this movie ever again after this week. Once was enough, and I will probably never watch 3 and 4 unless we, for some fucking reason, decide to do it on the podcast next year. But I don't know. 2 years of Hellraiser is probably enough. but it has survived all these years, and it's getting a reboot. You know, they're going to reboot it with a female Pinhead, which we forgot to mention in the news last week. And so, you know, it's going to make a comeback. And it's lots of action figures and comic books. And so they have built a franchise off these first two movies, which were the initial biggest hits of the franchise. So there's something to be said about that, I think.
Yeah, this movie, though it had its problems, you know, it made, 4 times its money back?
Yeah, it did pretty well at the box office. Yeah. It came out the right time. It came out near Halloween. It didn't have a lot of competition, so, you know, it made some money.
Yeah, good timing.
Yep, Roger Corman Company. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, and, New World Cinema.
Yeah, it was New World Cinema. And it was one of their bigger theatrical releases. You know, they put some advertising behind it, and they wanted it to make its money, and it did. And it's like you said, Long, it's kind of become a gothic horror classic too. So, you know, it's got its cult classic fans behind it over the years. And a lot of people do like this one more than the first one. I can't say that, though. I don't like either one that much, but I think the first one's a much better film than this one.
I think people like it more for the gore, maybe.
Yeah. And the last 10 minutes or so were very well done. You know, fight between all the Cenobites. I thought that was well done. I give it props. And, but overall, just not a fan. You know, I was like, like I said, I'll probably never watch it ever again unless I just happen to walk in the room and it happens to be on for some fucking reason. You know, but
yeah.
I'll avoid Pinhead. I mean, I can't even the last 10-minute fight, I can't be kind to this movie. I can't go over a C+ for it. I can't even put this in the realm of B's. I just don't think it's that good.
Yeah.
It's too muddled for me, too gory. Story just isn't as good as, you know, the first one. It could have been. Yeah. It's right there, the way they were going to build the mythology, but it just loses too much in the cuts.
Yeah. You give it the budget it was supposed to have, probably would have been, B+, A- kind of stuff.
Because one thing, before I let you guys, you do your rankings, is like, you guys know me, and I'm not a huge horror fan as far as slashers, so I don't really like Halloween all that much. But I do like sci-fi horror. I can always appreciate that. That's why I like Nightmare on Elm Street, because, you know, it has a sci-fi element to it. And that's why I could like this if it had better budgets and they did more with it. You know, I do kind of like when they have that science fiction element to it.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's a B, maybe B minus. I just like the horror, you know, the horror aspect of it. It takes a couple watches, I'd say, to kind of guide through the movie. It's easy, you know, like you said, it's easily to lose the plot. I forgot to mention that she does find that it's Frank Cotton that's luring her into hell and not her father. And he was trying to get her to get him.
Actually, that's, I appreciated that. That surprised me. Yeah. I was like, I didn't see that coming. I was like, oh, that's cool. They brought Frank back from the first one.
Yeah. And then Julie rips his heart out.
Yeah.
Just like, they actually wanted to go with her for like the main villain going forward, but she's like, no, I don't want to do another one of these movies. So maybe she was kind of grossed out like you, Mark.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, and speaking of them bringing Frank back, you know, this movie's actually pretty well acted for a horror film. I did notice that I was watching it, you know? Yeah. Like the looks on their faces and all the characters do a good job behind their makeup. It is pretty well acted for a lower budget Hollywood film or a horror film.
Yeah. The enthusiasm's there. The effort's there.
Yeah, because a lot of horror films are not well acted. I mean, even some of the Freddy movies and stuff, and generally actors are mailing stuff in. But this one, they try pretty hard to bring this to life in a way they the best way they can.
Yeah.
And maybe that's credit to Roger Corman Studios because, you know, Corman, you know, maybe he believed in it and tried to get him to do the best they could. Log, what do you rank this movie?
I give it a B minus. B minus. C plus. CB. How's that?
There we go.
C-ish.
There we go.
B minus-ish.
An H for hell. I don't know.
Yeah. No, dang it. I wish I thought of that.
Damn. That would have been a long answer, too.
For raising hell.
Yeah.
But for the second year in a row, Long and I survived the Cenobites and Hellraiser.
It's not, I can admit that this was not as impactful as the first movie.
I agree with that. Because you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And even though I did hate the fact that the first 3 minutes of the movie recap the first one, I'm like, God, I don't want to see him get torn apart by hooks again. That's gross.
Yeah. Yeah. The first movie was pretty, they're both nihilistic, but the first one was very dark too. You know? And in a way, this one is also pretty dark considering, you know, it was set in asylum, you know, and you kind of feel sorry for all the asylum inmates too, who were victims, you know, victims for the rituals and shit.
Yeah.
So this was pretty dark. Pretty dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, B minus, C plus ish. I think I might like it more on multiple viewings, actually.
Yeah, I think you would.
Then again, and I think about the original Cenobites going down like bitches. Like, they did, man. I think I liked the first one more. They were outwitted, but they weren't like, they didn't went down like pancakes. You know?
Yeah, for real, man.
Hardly lifted a finger. What kind of a fight is that? Anyhow.
Yeah.
No, I think I'll agree with Mark. It's definitely a C now that I think about it more. Take it down a notch.
Well, yeah, let's not watch that again.
Hey, the Astros are in the World Series. Yeah.
Yeah, Astros. Right.
Bring the mood up a bit.
That's all that matters. I've still got my TV on with all the celebration talk, so. All right, well, let's do some ghost stories then, man. We're no top five for the month of October. Did
Joe Buck eat it? I heard a lot of people were mad at Joe Buck.
Joe, you know what? A little bit of sports tangent here, fellow listeners. But, you know, Joe Buck, people want to knock him, but Joe Buck is not bad. He's actually very good at what he does. He tells the story of the game. People were fussing at him because he wanted to – when the Astros were down 2-1, he was talking to Red Sox. Well, at that point in the series – the story was the Red Sox, and that's what Joe Buck does. And if you listen to the last two games, he has given the Astros all their props coming back and winning 3 straight to win this series. I mean, Joe Buck is good. I don't know why people hate on him so much. You know, I mean, my thought on that is, could you do a better job? No, that's why he's in that profession, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I still can't believe how young Soto is.
Buck does have a way – Buck does have a way of getting stuck on one player sometimes, but he's not the only announcer that does that. There's a you watch college football announcers, and Kirk Herbstreit's John terrible Madden, about that.
You know,
Madden would get stuck on something. Herbstreit, he'll get stuck on something in a football game. So that's just the click that some announcers have. But anyway, I'm fine with Joe Buck. So let's do some ghost stories. It's the month of October. no top five this month as we're telling ghost stories. And we've got a couple to bring you this week. I got another Texas legend to tell. And who's got the ghost story for us this week?
I'll go. This is actually a pretty interesting ghost story because it's actually a Final Fantasy 14 ghost story. And when you play the game and you start out as like a level 5 adventurer, you're about to go into the first dungeon of the game, which is a dungeon in Final Fantasy 14. So you have 4 players go in and defeat a dungeon. So before you enter the dungeon, you see like these 4 non-playable characters outside. One of them was, yelling at this poor girl named Etta, and she's exasperated. And then you read their dialogue, and you see these 3 party members kind of making fun of her for not bringing potions or something for the dungeon. And you don't think much of those 4 guys. And then you come to find out in the next dungeon that half that party quit, and Etta, who was being yelled at by the knight, was her fiance. So come to find out that her fiance died in the second dungeon, and it's just Etta being yelled at by 2 other adventurers, and that little adventurer group broke up. And then level 50, you go back to the same dungeon and it's changed. And you come to find out that Etta had her ex's head, try to resurrect her ex's head with some really dark black magic rituals and turn her ex's dead, disembodied head into a giant demon. And then she falls to her death in the dungeon for doing some really crazy magic. She went crazy. And then you see her ghost. And then later on, you go through this deep dungeon called Palace of the Dead. You exorcise Etta, the ghost, right? And kind of free her from her curse from using all that black magic. And she's no longer evil. But sometimes when the inside the game, when it turns nighttime, at certain cities, you could see Etta's ghost appear under a lamppost. It would like disappear. So it's a kind of cool little Easter egg / ghost appearance by Etta. She'll be there and smiling at the adventures, briefly, and then she'll disappear at certain times. So, but that only happens if you beat all the dungeons listed, And you do, so. My second story is actually a local Houston story where the Houston Public Library, the old Houston Public Library, is haunted. And like right across from the old library, there's the more modern building that's about 3 stories. But sometimes, there's kind of a skeleton crew that works at the old library across the plaza. And I guess it used to be a converted church or something, because it does kind of look like a church when you look at it. And the old Houston Public Library, supposedly, certain times you can hear a violinist playing a violin inside the library at nighttime, even though there is no violinist there. And I know that the TV show Ghost Hunters, they try to catch something on film, and they only caught voices that are only recorded on their little recorders. That's a little local legend that the Houston Public Library, the old one, is haunted, and sometimes you'll hear violin playing.
I've actually heard that story before, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. Yeah.
The one on McKinney.
Right. Yeah. And then there also, y'all heard about the spaghetti warehouse being haunted.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went there with Jackie and her mom, and we went looking for ghosts one time.
Yeah.
They say they'll be cleaning up the kitchen at night after all the patrons, people say they hear noises in it and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, furniture being pushed or chairs being moved and stuff like that.
There's been,
but the spaghetti warehouse is no longer there.
Yeah, it's permanently closed now.
I thought they were going to reopen in a different location.
Okay. Maybe they did. Never did.
I knew they suffered because of COVID and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember reading somewhere that they said they would put all the chairs up for night and stuff, and they would come in the next morning to open up the restaurant and chairs would be taken off the tables and moved, and they're like, no one was here last night. No signs of break-in or anything. Yeah, there's been some weird stories about that place. I remember years ago my dad telling me about the hauntings at Spaghetti Warehouse. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Cool, man. Well, I've got another Texas legend to continue with the ones I started a couple weeks ago, and this comes from us from San Antonio, Texas. Just south of San Antonio, Texas, is the site of Texas's most famous ghost story, according to this. Not far from the San Juan Mission is the intersection of the roadway that is crossed by railroad tracks. Whether this is an urban legend or truly a ghostly tale has long been forgotten in history. Reportedly, this is the site of a fatal accident in which a train collided with a school bus full of children in the 1930s or 40s. According to the legend, it was a rainy Texas morning as the train moved slowly down the tracks when the engineer spotted a school bus stalled along this path. Frantically pulling his brake and tugging on the train whistle, the hulking engine quickly advanced toward the bus, unable to stop in time. 10 children reportedly lost their lives that day and continue to haunt the area, protecting others from a similar fate. As the story goes, if you park your car directly over the tracks and shift into neutral, the ghost of the children will push it uphill out of the way of an upcoming train. And if you have the foresight to cover your bumper with baby powder flour, you can reportedly see the children's fingerprints upon your car. Despite the much-publicized story, the truth has been hotly debated in San Antonio, and both area residents and local law enforcement are wary of the legend. Numerous accounts have been reported that cars do, in fact, inexplicably move on their own. Mysterious prints have been seen on vehicles. Others allege that they have heard the voices and laughter of children while at the site. However, in support of San Antonio residents, there is no reports of any such accident having occurred in the newspaper archives anywhere in Texas. It seems to be that an accident of such magnitude would have been reported somewhere. As the curious from all over the country come to witness the paranormal phenomenon, law enforcement is constantly forced to deal with traffic problems at the site, especially around Halloween. Area residents have grown extremely weary of the congestion and the drugs and alcohol that seem to accompany many visitors. Unfortunately, a criminal element has also entered upon the scene as reports of carjackings, purse snatchings, and worse seem to happen at the site. San Antonio is reportedly the most haunted city in the state of Texas with dozens of ghostly sites, but perhaps if it's time to give this legend a rest and let the local law enforcement area residents do away with it. So, interesting that there was no report in any of the archives anywhere that the accident happened. But, you know, back then, though, records weren't as kept as well. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And have y'all heard about the local right here, not 15 minutes from us, have y'all heard about that bridge by Bear Creek Park?
Yeah.
It's on the backside. Yeah,
about people losing power.
Yeah, they'll stop on the bridge and their power will go out in the car. People have seen a lady standing on the bridge. People have seen handprints on their windows if it's foggy. Yeah, it's very, very – I've actually driven over the bridge before, but during the daytime. I don't think I do it at night. But it is pretty spooky. Yeah, and that's right here 15 minutes from us. All right, cool stuff, man. Let's do some news. This just came out a couple hours before we recorded, I guess, while I was watching the Astro game. Apparently, Ahsoka is fixing to get ready to start filming, and Hayden Christensen's going to appear in it. They haven't confirmed whether he's going to appear as Darth Vader or as Anakin, but interesting. And maybe we're going to get some flashbacks with Ahsoka and Anakin, because, I mean, we're assuming the series takes place in the same era as The Mandalorian, in which we know Darth Vader and Anakin are already gone. After, you know, dying at the hands of Luke and Empire. But so we'll see. I think that's kind of cool that Dave Filoni and his crew, they keep doing all this cool stuff and bringing Star Wars lore together. So
it'd be cool. That would definitely make it more official, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It seems kind of exciting. You know, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually more curious. I can see how they can make Hayden work in an Ahsoka series because it's easy to do flashbacks and stuff. But I'm really curious how Hayden's going to work in the Obi-Wan series. Like, I'm just like, how does Darth Vader play into that show? You know, because as far as we know, they don't really meet until A New Hope when he feels his presence. So we'll see. But it's all next. When's Obi-Wan supposed to be out? Next year? Yeah. So we'll see. Did you guys check out that trailer for the Uncharted movie?
No.
I watched it as a huge fan of these video games. I don't hate the trailer, but two things. I still feel that Tom Holland is too young to play Nathan Drake, and I still feel that Mark Wahlberg does not look like Sully at all. That's my biggest thing. It's like, why could you not cast Josh Brolin as Sully or somebody that looks more like the character in the video game? But we'll see. Like I said, the trailer's not bad, though. It looks like an Uncharted movie would look. So we'll see. But you guys need to watch it so you don't have an opinion. So no. Fuck y'all. Hulu and FX have
canceled. I'm a Tomb Raider fan more than the Uncharted.
Oh, man, Uncharted's so good, though. Why the Last Man got canceled after just one season, but Hulu's not giving up. They're going to try to shop the show to get and FX cited budget on it. They said it was just a very expensive show to make, and we know it took like 3 years to get this show made. You know, COVID caused delays, a lot of other issues, and I hadn't started watching it yet, and I wanted to because I was a fan of the comics, but now it's like, if we're not going to get the whole story told, you know, we'll see. So hopefully maybe so I picks that show up, and because it was pretty well reviewed, you know. And then the crazy thing is they only aired like 4 episodes, and now they're not even saying we're going to air the rest of the episodes or not. So hopefully he finds a home somewhere. But that was awfully quick, you know, 3 or 4 episodes in and you're canceling season 2. So, quick note, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has begun production. So that's official. Did you guys watch the Cowboy Bebop little teaser movie came out? That pretty looks fun. Awesome. Oh, yeah. The trailer is going to be out sometime the next few days, the actual trailer for the show. But I really, as a fan of the anime, I was really enjoyed the whole, they get it, you know, the whole way that the characters interact with each other on the show. It seems like this is going to be something really, really special, I think, once it hits. About a month from now, November 19th, the show hits Netflix. And that 3 minutes really made me excited. John Chow he might seem a little old for Spike, but man, he looks the part, and that's what matters. You know, he looks really good in it. So I'm excited for it. So it'll be fun. And Netflix also did get rights to the original anime, which is, I think, next week. I think I read November 2nd or 3rd. Cowboy Bebop's going to be on Netflix if you've never seen the original anime. So,
oh, neat.
So it gives you a chance to watch it. And, last bit of news I has is Marvel and Disney moved a lot of movies around again. But the biggest one is we're going to have to wait a whole year for Indiana Jones 5. It was supposed to be out next summer, but now it's going to be out 2023. All the other movies, Doctor Strange, everything, were just pushed back a month or two. They already made jokes about the Batman trailer, which we're going to talk about in a minute. They pushed Doctor Strange back because Marvel saw that Batman trailer and freaked out because Doctor Strange was supposed to be out like 2 weeks after Batman. I doubt that's why they did it. You know, I think it's just movies continue to shift a little bit as the box office gets a little more secure.
Yeah.
And last bit of news, man, DC Fandom happened last weekend. And so we got our first looks at a couple of things. We got our first looks at The Flash. And the best part about that was hearing Michael Keaton's voice. I thought that was cool, you know, and overall, Ezra Miller is still such an awkward dude. You know, it's just like,
did you see? You saw his intro to that.
His intro. Really? Yeah. He's just such an awkward person.
Doesn't he look like he's a homeless person?
Yes. Yes.
He's like, geez, Ezra, won't you try cleaning yourself up and look less like a cracked up homeless person? He's like,
yeah, okay. But the little teaser was exciting. You know, it looks cool. I mean, it's going to be cool just to see him interact with Keaton's Batman and Affleck and everybody. So it should be a fun movie. But the real the big trailer we got was the new look at the Batman with directed by Matt Reeves and starring Robert Pattinson. And man, that was that trailer felt epic to me. I know we just had the Nolan films. We had Affleck play Batman, but I'm a big Batman fan, so I will take more Batman stories, and I'm super excited for it. I think it looks freaking awesome. I've watched the trailer like four or five times. And I hope that music score is from the actual film, because the music sounded freaking badass. Go ahead, Long.
Yeah, it looks pretty intense, actually.
Mm-hmm. A darker, grittier.
Yeah, darker and grittier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we
need. Younger Batman, a little edgier. Yeah. And I'm super excited for it.
I showed Jackie the trailer, and she's like, he's too skinny. And I was like, she's like, I like Affleck's Batman. I guess she liked that he was, you know, he had the size.
But I read something. Man. But Pattinson's actually bigger than Bale. He's taller and broader shouldered. Yeah. I think it's the suit. I think because the suit is more form-fitting. If you look at Pattinson's suit, it looks like something that he built and put on him, where Bale's suit was more like a design, like an armor suit, you know, that sort of he's almost like he got into like an Iron Man costume. It was almost like a Batman costume. Where if you look at Pattinson's suit, it looks more like it's built. It's more like it's something he would wear than something he would jump into. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I coming across that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the look of it. I think it looks really cool. And I love the new take on the Batmobile, more like a roadster. You know, I think that's cool too. Mm-hmm.
Was a Chevy or a Dodge Charger.
And Colin Farrell almost unrecognizable as a Penguin. That was cool. But it's interesting that they're keeping the look of the Riddler kind of under wraps. You know, you see him at the beginning of the trailer, but they never really show his face or anything. So,
yeah, but it's just the Riddler, though.
Yeah, and I think Zoe Kravitz is going to be really great as a Catwoman. You know, she looked really great in the trailer. So, super excited about that, though. I can't wait, and it comes out in March, assuming it doesn't get delayed again. So it's not that far away. We'll be watching a new Batman movie pretty soon. And my 6-year old, he was so smart. He goes, "Dad, that comes out right before my birthday." I'm like, "Yes, it does." He was excited. So it'll be cool.
Nice.
Did I miss anything from DC fandom? I mean, the Rock introduced Black Adam with a really brief teaser. Didn't really show much. The new Batman animated show that, you know, they talked about that a little bit. But those were the two big trailers. Oh, and then they sort of unofficially announced that Patty Jenkins will be back to direct Wonder Woman 3. But it's probably a couple years away after she finishes her Star Wars movie. So they're going to take a little, give Wonder Woman a little break and come back in a couple of years. So I was a little surprised we didn't get Aquaman footage, because Aquaman's been filming almost just as long as The Flash has, and The Flash has already wrapped production. So I was a little surprised we didn't get Aquaman footage, but that's okay. So maybe in a few months. So, but that's all the news I got for this week. Before we get out of here, we have one last movie to cover in Halloween Horrors, and it's our safe movie. We always do at the end. We always do a kids Halloween movie. A bit of a darker kids movie, but still geared towards kids, and a really good film from Leica Studios. Yeah. Leica Studios only done a few films, but man, I haven't disliked any of their movies they put out. I didn't care. Well, I'll take that back. I didn't like the Box Trolls all that much, just because I don't know. It was okay, but. But this studio is making some really beautifully animated films with stop motion effects and stuff, and this one is no exception, and that is Coraline.
Coraline Jones always dreamed of finding a better world. A world more exciting than this. Uh-huh. But never did she imagine that she'd discover it. in her own home. A parallel place.
We've been waiting for you, Coraline.
Where parents are always fun.
I love your garden!
Can't believe you did this!
And everything is so good.
What's shaking, baby?
It just can't be real.
Mom? You're just in time for supper, dear.
You're not my mother. My mother doesn't have...
Buttons? Do you like them? I'm your other mother, silly.
You probably think this world is a dream come true.
My name!
But you're wrong.
You do like it here, don't you, Coraline? You could stay here forever. There's one tiny little thing we need to do. Black is traditional.
She's got this whole world where everything's better, but it's all a trap.
You may come out when you've learned to be a loving daughter.
From Henry Selick, the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas, comes a world of extraordinary imagination. Spooky secrets.
Who are you?
You're in terrible danger, girl.
And daring discoveries.
I still have to find my parents to set them free.
This year, when adventure comes knocking,
choo-choo.
There are some doors that should never be opened. Written for the screen and directed by Henry Selick. Presented in Real D3D.
You know, it's a good... I've only seen it once, so I don't really recall completely what it was about. So I'm kind of looking forward to watching it again. I remember liking it when I watched it. And so it should be a fun one to close out our Halloween month. You know, again, that studio, man. Kubo and the Two Strings is one of the best movies I've seen in the last few years. That was such an amazing movie, and I know Coraline was good too, so should be a fun one to watch, and not as scary as Hellraiser 2. And I can watch it during the day when the kids are awake. That was a hard thing too, trying to get Hellraiser 2 in. I'm like, what night can I watch this when the kids aren't? Because they definitely cannot watch Hellraiser 2. So that's next week's show to close out Halloween Horrors. We will watch Coraline and talk about it. And until then, that's all we've got this week. TheRebelRadioPodcast.com. That's where you can find our show. We're on all the apps. And until next time, just be safe. And next week's episode will probably be out on Halloween, since Halloween is next Sunday. And I'll put it out a day early so people can listen to it. Until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Log, the Hell Priest.
And until next week, remember, just go there and do it.
And do it.
Do it.